Good afternoon. Welcome to Guidance Unscripted. I'm David Thompson. We've got Elliot Doan, Michelle Wilson, and thanks to the AWARE grant, we've got Brittany Chevron, our school social worker here. I'd like to give Brittany a chance to tell us a little bit about herself, so I'll hand it over to you, Brittany.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, I'm Brittany Chevron. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I am new to Avon this year. Very happy to be here. I come with a background of working in schools, so for about 13 years or so now, I've been working with family and youth, and for the last 4 years, I've specifically been working in schools, helping provide counseling for students who are having some specific needs, and running grief support groups for them. So,
very good. Thanks for the intro, Brittany. I think that that goes really nicely into explaining your role as a social worker and then potentially some misconceptions about your title.
Yeah, so social workers in a school setting can look a variety of different ways, and it really depends on what the needs of the school is that they're in. Some of the tasks that social workers might do in schools are helping with attendance or dress code issues or really just assisting with problematic behaviors in the classroom. But as far as for me here at your school, I'm mainly functioning as a mental wellness provider. So that means offering support to students and staff who are having some social and emotional needs.
So what I'm hearing is that if a family were to get a call from you, even though you're a social worker, they should not be concerned or worried that they're in trouble.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. The word social worker can have a bad connotation to it, like you're in trouble or something related to the law, or having the stereotypical one that we hear all the time is that you're going to have your kids removed. That is not at all what I am here doing. I'm really functioning more in a therapeutic role, but at a lower level than an intensive therapy.
That makes sense. And that's definitely a need that a lot of our students have, especially as we progress through our Lilly grant and then the new Project AWARE grant. So with that grant in mind, can you tell us a little bit about what the Project AWARE grant is and some of the goals for the program?
Yeah, so AWARE stands for Advancing Wellness and Resilience Education. So the purpose of the grant is to increase awareness of mental health issues among school-aged children. Project AWARE really focuses as well on building relationships between the school, families, and communities in order to fully support the mental health needs across all the continuums that children find themselves in. So here in the school, that looks like really building up a middle level of support for students' social and emotional needs. So you guys as counselors, you're the primary level. You are universal. Students can all come to you, talk to you, as well as their teachers, and get that initial level of support. Here at Avon, we also have Cummins Behavioral Therapy. That's intensive individualized therapy that students are able to participate in. So those are kids who are having a lot higher need that one-on-one time. What I'm going to be doing is something in between the two. So students who are coming to you, but they need a little bit more support, but they're not quite at the level of needing that intensive individual therapy, I can begin working with them and offering support group sessions with their peers to help with issues like anxiety or stress or depression. If kids are having problems with relationship issues or, say, addiction to technology or vaping, that's something that I can work with them on, too. And Project AWARE really supports whatever we can think of, right? We have kind of free reign to really explore and see how can we support the whole school community to our best ability.
It's awesome for the school to get a grant like this, as well as the Lilly grant. It's been very helpful with things that we can implement and make happen in the school. And we just wanted to touch on some warning signs for parents, students, teachers, what students might see in another student or what students might see in themselves, those kind of things to kind of just get some awareness out there for those that are listening.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very important topic and something that I've seen a lot in my work. So I'm happy to bring this conversation to the forefront and be addressing it. Warning signs can be pretty varying and wide range, but some of the obvious ones are when somebody's talking about wanting to die, right? Or if they're really feeling hopeless or trapped in life. But other warning signs might be a little less obvious, such as somebody beginning to withdraw or increasing their reckless behaviors. We might also notice like extreme mood swings or an increase in substance abuse.
Yeah, those are all we've probably all had our own experiences with someone in that situation as a school counselor. Or if we haven't, we've been trained very well with everything that we go through in school to be trained on it. And then we were trained last year with QPR, which is a new...
It's supposed to sound like CPR,
yeah,
that anyone can pick up a CPR class and do, but QPR stands for question, persuade, and refer. So it's based on the principle that if you see some warning signs, which we're going to discuss and that Brittany mentioned, to feel comfortable enough to ask the question about if someone is feeling suicidal and then persuade them to go get help and then make the appropriate referral for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another warning sign that I was thinking of was giving away belongings that are important to you. And that can kind of be not a direct way, but to say like, I wanted you to have this. It means a lot to me. And that's when you would potentially be prompted to ask the question, are you having suicidal ideation or thoughts?
Yeah. And then to go along with that, any of the things that we see, statements that are made by students, I think sometimes, you know, students say some things trying to get a reaction out of their friends or out of an adult. And just the idea that, you know, we have to take those things seriously. We don't have the option of trying to decide whether we think it's right or wrong. It's just a matter of when we hear those things, we have to take it seriously and we have to follow the appropriate procedures to report those kind of things.
For sure, because what's the harm in asking?
Yep.
You know, if the answer's no, then it's no. And if it's maybe or yes, then we're on to something really important. And that's when we can step in and provide the necessary help.
Yeah.
Right. And the research shows that asking the question about whether or not you're suicidal doesn't plant the idea in your head. Either you're considering it or you're not. And as people that want to be supportive and get help to the individual that is feeling suicidal, you're not really sure until you ask that question. So that's why when we have students who make comments, even if it's, oh my gosh, I bombed this test, I'm just going to kill myself, probably just a flippant remark, but we do take that seriously and we do follow up with questions. So we have a lot of students that are surprised when they get called down to the guidance office or if their teacher pulls them aside and asks them, how serious are you about that? And are you actually considering suicide? And they just think it's a casual remark, but just where we're at in today in society, we can't take that for granted anymore.
Yeah.
And I want to recognize that that's a really uncomfortable conversation to have.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
no doubt.
I don't know anybody that's like, I love talking about that, right? But it's also super, super critical. And as we've been saying, if we don't ask, we don't know. So as difficult as that is, it's really important to do that. And that person, whether it's a friend or family member, essentially what we're showing them is, hey, I'm paying attention to you and I really care about you and I'm noticing these things and I want to support you.
Yeah.
And I can't speak for everyone, but I know I've had students who have started off making comments like that just to see who's paying attention and who's listening,
right,
because they were considering it, even though they approached it as a joke at first, but they wanted to see who was actually, I guess, paying attention to them and wanted to help.
And I'm thinking about an example from last week. One of my parents did a really good job of listening to her child and noticed some of the warning signs and was able to, you know, get him the help that he needed. And he's safe because of that. And I think that that's why this is a really important topic, because we've got kids for 8 hours of the day, but parents are with them the other 16 hours,
yeah,
or guardians are. And I mean, that made a huge difference, having a parent who listened instead of saying, well, it's going to get better, just suck it up. And unfortunately, that sometimes is the reaction, but very, very grateful for those parents who do pick up on that and are like, you know, I'm not sure where to start, but I'm going to start with calling some professionals or calling the hotline or, you know, getting in contact with the counselor so we can make sure that that student is safe.
Yeah.
So, Brittany, one of your roles as our, I want to say social worker, even though that's not really the appropriate title.
Mental wellness provider.
Mental wellness provider. So in your role, one of the important things that you do for us is help us with community connections and partnerships. What kind of partnerships can you more or less recommend or make parents aware of?
Yeah. So one of my roles here, Hendricks County, where Avon's at, and Brownsburg and Plainfield, Danville as well, they are doing amazing work to collaborate together and really provide a vast and rich amount of resources for families that live in this county. One of my roles is to participate in the Hendricks County Substance Abuse Task Force. So I'm representing Avon school districts there, having a voice at the table, as well as being able to spread that information. Now, there are tons of different organizations and coalitions focused on different topics. There's also a website that I believe we're going to add in the podcast notes, which is a resource guide for families. And that has a lot of quality links as well. So you can find things related to crisis relief or specifically for teen support. There's things like LGBTQ support and literally anything you can think of. You can go to that webpage and find a link to information on different organizations in the community to support that.
Mm-hmm. And I do have that link pulled up. That is hendrickshealthpartnership.org/resources. And Brittany was actually kind enough to share that with me. I had never heard of that until this year, but it is a really comprehensive list of different providers in and around the Hendricks area. And it's amazing how many resources there are.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's important to find something that's going to fit your needs. You might mm-hmm. start somewhere and realize this isn't working, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't continue to look for something that will work for you. We also have on the website, when you are on the high school webpage and go to guidance, here I am navigating again. There is a flow chart that you can follow. And when you're on the guidance homepage on the left, when you're looking through the tabs, it's under the mental health resources tab. And then there is a mental health flow chart of resources on there. And that's also something that we reference in guidance as well to kind of help guide, you know, what our next steps are if we're not totally sure, or some resources that we can pass along to parents or other staff members as well.
So kind of going back to the suicide ideation piece, and what would a parent do if they're seeing some of the warning signs in their student, or if another student's seeing some of those warning signs in one of their friends, what's kind of the next step in that process?
Well, the first thing to do is to make sure they're safe. So if they have access to anything in that moment that could cause them harm, we want to make sure that we're removing that from the environment. So things like weapons or medication or maybe even car keys, right? Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to keep them safe. We also want to stay with them or have another trusted person be right there with them, because that goes a huge way in keeping somebody protected and safe in that moment of intensity where somebody is considering self-harm. After that, if things do not de-escalate and we still have a high concern, we want to get them connected with a mental health provider. So that could look like needing to call 911 in the moment, or taking them to an emergency room. If there's an established therapist, reaching out to them. Or there's also the suicide hotline as well, which is another great resource where people can call 24 hours a day and talk to a trained professional to help give them support and advice in that moment.
Isn't there a resource as well that you can text? It's like 741-741.
I think that's the same suicide hotline.
Mm-hmm. It goes through the same people.
It does the same thing.
Yep. Not on the phone.
Yep.
Another great resource is an app called My3. Are you guys familiar with that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We talked about that in our QPR training. Was part of the My3
stuff. My3 is really great, and I've used it with some of my other high school students before. It's easy. Just download the app for free on your phone, and it literally walks you through different coping strategies that you can use in the moment, how to keep yourself safe, who you can call. You can enter your support network's phone numbers right there into the app, and then it gives you those links and phone numbers as well for mental health professionals.
If I remember right, when you put in the three... Because kind of the idea behind it is the three people that you would contact if you were having a struggle. And then you just, it's like hit the button and it automatically will let them know, hey, I'm in a point where I need help right now.
Yes, yes. It's really great. And I think it's a great app for teenagers as well. Mm-hmm. yeah, it makes it really easy to reach out and get the support that you need in the moment.
Yeah. And I know some students or maybe even parents struggle with the idea that, you know, when we call and we've seen something that, you know, we keep your kid in our office because we don't want them going back to a class and somehow getting lost in the shuffle, being in a bathroom alone or whatever the case may be. So when we have those concerns and we're reaching out, it's we're worried or we wouldn't be doing it. And we're keeping them with us until they can be picked up by a parent or a guardian or someone on the emergency contact list, because we don't want to let them just go on the bus and go home, no supervision when they get there, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So just want to make sure that they understand those, why we do what we do. It's not, mm-hmm. we're not just doing it because we think it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. We're doing it because we're concerned and it is what we need to do.
Yeah. And if teachers are having concerns in class, whether mm-hmm. sometimes in English class, if they're doing a journal, that mm-hmm. might be where kids express some of those thoughts and ideations for the first time. Mm-hmm. And teachers have also been trained and instructed to call down to guidance or to get someone to come up and get that kid or get coverage themselves so they can bring that kid down to guidance. So we're not just, again, going back to Dave's point, you know, we don't want them to get lost in the shuffle or go find a bathroom. Or if they do have means to hurt themselves within the school, we don't want them to have access to that. So our goal at school is to keep them safe. And even then, I'm thinking about last year, I had multiple students and, you know, I would say a handful of occasions where we couldn't send a kid home on the bus, or if something came to our attention and they had already left, we had to call police or make sure that parents were there mm-hmm. when that kid got off the bus. And so that's really important to us because we don't want them going home being unsupervised if we are concerned about that.
Yeah.
And I think the last piece we definitely want to touch on is what to do if you suspect your friend is suicidal or having troubles, because I know personally I've had more referrals from friends coming down and seeing warning signs from their peers and they aren't quite sure what to do anymore. And it's important for teenagers to know that you can be a great support and you can be a great advocate, but you're not a trained mental health professional. And you don't want to try to do things and be in over your head. It's better for that friend to temporarily be upset that you told someone else that they're struggling than for something irreversible to happen to them and you never get the opportunity to make it up to them again. So, Brittany, can you touch just a little bit on what a teenager should do if their friend is noticing some of these warning signs?
Yeah, and such a good point, right? Because your friends might be most comfortable having these candid conversations with you. So you might be the first person who really finds out that there's a situation that we need to be addressing and some support that we need to be providing to a student. The best thing that we can do is to really listen. So if we ask that question, hey, are you thinking about hurting yourself? Don't whip out your phone and start texting someone else. Like, stay present, look them in the eye, really give them your full attention and show them that you care by being there with them, by really taking what they're saying seriously. It's really important too to not ever promise to keep that a secret, because as Elliot said, you might need to go tell someone in order to keep your friend safe, in order to help save their life. So if you promise that you won't tell anyone, you're really not doing them any favors. What you could say is, wow, I can't believe you're going through something like that. That sounds so hard. What do you think about us reaching out to a trusted adult who would be okay for us to go talk to together about this? If your friend might reject that idea and say, no, I don't want to do it, then that's a time and place where you could go and talk to a trusted adult and say, I'm just really worried about my friend and I don't know what to do, and let us take it from there.
Mm-hmm. And I'm even thinking about a relationship where someone says, if you break up with me, mm-hmm. I'm going to kill myself. Oh. And quite honestly, I think we hear that more often than we would right. like to.
Right.
But a lot of our students struggle with that. So do you have any takes on that? Sorry, that was kind of out of the blue.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's a hard one.
It's like yeah. one of the, I feel like we hear it more and more often yeah. that, well, I can't cut this relationship off because he said or she said that she'll just kill herself or he'll kill himself because, you know, we're not together anymore. And it's a serious concern that happens, I feel like, more and more frequently all the time.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, is that even a healthy relationship to begin with?
Right.
If that's
exactly
what the stipulations are.
Yep.
It's okay to be caring and compassionate and want to help other people, but you don't have to be every single person's savior.
Yeah.
And whether or not someone's being manipulative in that case, it's not your job to figure that piece out, but you need to make sure that that person gets help if that's what's really going on. Mm-hmm. And if they're trying to manipulate you into staying in the relationship, I mean, we could have a whole nother podcast on relationships, and we probably will.
Yeah, no doubt.
But that should be a warning sign that you need to get out, and then also make the referral so that someone who is trained in the situation can have a conversation about whether that person is at risk for self-harm or suicide.
Yeah. Exactly. While it's presented as one situation, it's really two separate ones. Mm-hmm. It's suicidal ideation and it's unhealthy relationship patterns. And the priority in that case would be to address keeping the person safe and talking to them about their thoughts of suicide. And then as a secondary step, working on what are some healthy relationship standards, and is that relationship really meeting them, in which case all of us could agree no.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that eventually that might be a small group that we run.
Yes. I've
and
had
maybe we'll be able to touch on that with social emotional curriculum at some point.
Yep.
Absolutely. I've had a couple of the counselors come talk to me about students who are struggling with healthy relationships, whether that's with family and friends or romantic partners. And that is absolutely something on the table that I can work with students on.
All right. Well, we've hit a lot of heavy topics today.
Yeah.
And hopefully this helps a number of families and students, especially those who are kind of struggling with trying to figure out what to do with students who are thinking about self-harm or suicide. So if you're not sure what to do, we've got resources available online, and please just reach out and let one of us know, let the guidance department know, let an administrator know. We will do whatever we can to help. So thank you for listening to our podcast today.
Hang on, before we go, I forgot to mention in the beginning, the last episode of the podcast, we added some music in. Thankful for Brayon doing that for us. We got one of the students here at the school to come up with a little musical beat that we could put at the beginning and the ending of every podcast, and just want to do a shout out to him. And we're also trying to work with some students on some other stuff for the podcast, so we want to make sure we recognize those guys as well. And as of this morning, got an email from Chris Tincher from Chick-fil-A that they are going to help us out and take care of the podcast website that we need to have taken care of. So we want to do a shout out to Chick-fil-A and thank them for sponsoring the podcast now.
Chick-fil-A. So good. Let's go ahead and touch on ZAPS testing, since that was something that we did have some questions about. There will be a ZAPS SAT test seminar that is on Wednesday, September 25th from 6:30 to 9 in the ALC in room 115. And then the second part of that will be on Thursday, the 26th, from 6:30 to 9. So if you are looking for your son or daughter to get some test prep tips and guidelines and just, you know, other tips and tricks, that's a good resource. In addition, I can't think of any other words. Sylvan Learning Center will have a test prep seminar as well. I'm not exactly sure when those dates are, but we will have information in the guidance offices whenever we get that information from them.
Yeah. And then we'll plan on doing a podcast based around the ACT, SAT stuff at some point in time. That'll be coming up, but we'll devote one whole one to that due to the fact that we had a lot of parent questions in regards to when is the right time to take those tests and what we need to do to prepare for them.
Yeah.
And for those of you that have filled out responses on the S'more or on the guidance website about our podcast, we thank you for that. And if there are any other episode topics or questions that you want covered in future episodes, please feel free to fill that out. And we're going to do a good job of addressing those, at least one per episode, and then potentially devote full episodes to whatever the topic is. So thank you to all of our listeners. For all of us here at Guidance Unscripted, we are Avon. We are one.